Good morning. You have tuned into The Morning Show on Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and that's Jim, flying solo for the moment in the studio today. Or not, I guess we're not flying solo, we're flying regular.
We have each other,
yes.
Jack.
And that's the best way to be. That's my favorite kind of morning show anyway. Who needs that guest?
No, we do, and the guest will be arriving any moment now. Had child duties, taking children to school, but we're flexible, and we can do it, can't we?
We sure can. We will be fine. In the meantime, we can tell you all about the weather and astrological events going on. We are in the middle of a hazardous weather outlook provided to us by the National Weather Service.
What does that mean?
Well,
he
asks. Yes. So there's a, what is there? There's a watch, a warning, an outlook.
And an advisory.
An advisory, yes.
Advisory is one that they have as well.
Yeah, they send us all kinds of little notes. But an outlook, I think, is a little less serious. But it's day one, today and tonight. Accumulating snow is expected tonight over the mountains of the Idaho Panhandle. Motorists should be prepared for treacherous driving conditions tonight on Interstate 90 over Lookout Pass. Now, that is important.
That is important. You're right.
Yeah, because I know several people who are going to be making that drive over the weekend.
Folks are going to be traveling these days and nights, and they need to be alert and pay attention.
So grab those chains if you are going to be traveling, or consider staying home. How about that? What's so bad about Sandpoint? Then another round of snow.
What did I hear on the news that something like 100 million people will be traveling this holidays either by air, train, or car? Stop and think about that. 100 million people, I heard on one of the sound bites somewhere. But
yeah.
Paying attention to condition of roads.
Whoa. From Atlantic to Pacific.
You bet.
Gee, the traffic is terrific. Another round of snow will be possible Saturday night into Sunday. So we might get a little snow now.
I hope so. I'm ready for some here in town.
I would agree. Yes.
If this is December, darn it, we should not be having like June temperatures. If this is December, let me know it.
Yeah. I ran outside to start the car this morning in my bathrobe. And it wasn't even cold. I was just didn't even have to have socks on.
We had a bizarre occurrence in our backyard. Maybe Rich Del Carlo, who's doing a bird count on Saturday, would let us know. We had robins in our mountain ash tree.
That's a springtime bird, if I'm not mistaken.
Are they migrating? And are these like late migrators or what? But we had robins in our... We've had two mountain ash trees in our backyard. And I'm sure Rich probably has like a GPS on every flock migrating and could tell us why, unless these were really way up north and working their way south.
That's very strange. Yeah, I wonder if they just procrastinate, if they are...
Well, we have food
we'll
for
find
them,
out.
Darn it.
Okay, here's the forecast, though. A little more information, a little more detailed information about Sandpoint in particular in our very specific area. Today, rain and snow is likely, a 100% chance of rain today, a high of 40 degrees, or I should say 100% chance of precipitation. Most likely that will be rain if it does get up to 40. Rain and then a chance of rain or snow tonight, depending on when it arrives, of course, decreasing chance throughout the night. Tomorrow, slight chance of snow showers in the morning, and then mostly sunny on Friday with a high of 35 degrees. Patchy fog, then slight chance of snow and patchy fog on Friday night. Chance of snow on Saturday is about 30% with a high just at the freezing point of 32 degrees. We are likely to get snow on Saturday night.
Yay.
60% chance. Yeah.
Terrific. And my sister in Washington, D.C. area, she sent me the weather forecast for the Washington, D.C. area. And the reason why I do that is to remind our listeners that you can take us everywhere through the magic of technology. You can stream us. And the weather for Washington, D.C., she says it's 40 degrees now, high of 51, rain this afternoon, 80% chance.
I have before me the sunrise and sunset times for the next few days. Let me tell you this, because this is usually Chris Bessler's job if you listen on a Wednesday morning. But because of the momentous occasion that we are approaching, I'm going to say that today the sun rose at 7:33 in the morning and will set this afternoon at 3:53 p.m. We will then lose 3 more seconds, and tomorrow, the winter solstice, the sun will set at about the same time, but will rise at 7:34 a.m., and that will be the shortest day of the year tomorrow, Friday, December 21st. But wait, Jim, I can see the look of terror on your face. It doesn't get any worse than that. In fact, on the 22nd, we gain 2 seconds, and we have begun that steady climb into spring and summer. We the sun rises, or sun, it looks about the same, but we gain 2 seconds of daylight on the 22nd, 7 seconds of daylight on the 23rd, with the sun setting then at 3:55 in the afternoon. And by the end of this month, as we enter the new year, we're gaining almost a minute of daylight every day. So tomorrow is the final, the worst it's going to get. And then, and actually, it's going to be a sunny day tomorrow, so that's okay.
Well, it's going to be a sunny day, and why? Because it's a special day for someone in our studio.
Oh, it is. Yes. Tomorrow is my 32nd birthday.
30?
Is that right?
30?
Yeah.
Wait. These jeans I'm wearing are 32 years old, Jack. You know, I'm a Sagittarian like you. We have Mandy Evans come in the studio. Mandy, are you a Sagittarian as well?
I'm a Gemini.
Ah, okay. She's a twin.
And yeah. I'm actually a twin.
Whoa.
Whoa. This is...
And my twin also runs an animal shelter in California.
Oh, no. And you're both the same age, right?
Well, yeah.
A twin being a Gemini.
I thought twins were Geminis, but
no,
I guess not.
No, that's not true. But boy, is that way too cool. But Jack, tomorrow, yeah. I'm a Sagittarian. I mean, tell me, growing up, did you kind of like, ooh, I don't want to be too close to Christmas because they'll get my gifts confused, birthday gifts and then Christmas gifts.
Yes, like all Christmas babies, who I know a few other ones, it all just becomes part of the same holiday.
Was yours a blur?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, of course, my parents didn't. I mean, my parents celebrated it, but as far as having like a birthday party with kids and stuff, it was not very common. Usually, or at least a couple times, I celebrated my half birthday, and we did like a June 21st thing for
perfect.
Jack. Yeah. Which
I would say, you know, that as if one were a parent and one had a child's birthday close to Christmas, you know, there's all the flurry and activity of the holidays, you know, cards, decorating tree, buying gifts and whatever. But I think a half birthday is just way too cool.
Yes. And it would, and then in my family, my grandmother's birthday is the 23rd.
Oh, my goodness.
So we would, we'd get together and have dinner and it would be just a... It would just be part of the holidays. It was added to the mix. Now, but there was usually a cake.
You and Annie doing anything tomorrow special?
Tomorrow, I don't know. On Saturday, we're going to go. Actually, we're going to go down to Wolf Lodge Steakhouse. I've never been there. Have you heard of it?
No.
Have you heard of it, Mandy?
I have, yeah.
Ever been?
No.
I don't mean either.
Well, wait. Where is it located? Help me.
It's down in Coeur d'Alene. I'm going to be on that I-90 for a second, actually. But before I go over the pass, and it's been around for like 70 years or something like that, and it's a big old barn-looking building on the side of the road. Yeah, it looks kind of fun.
So will there be a cake in your future?
Well, that I don't know.
Whoa.
I have not heard anything about a cake, but I wouldn't put it past anybody.
See, my birthday is earlier in the month, so enough distance.
So we missed it, Jim. When was your birthday?
No, we didn't miss it. We did not miss it at all. I had a great day.
Good.
It started off with a phone call from friends in Vienna, and then friends in Amsterdam, and then I have two friends who are roaming around Chile, and they texted me, and then I was on the phone the whole day. So a great day of just... You know, hearing people and talking with them and sharing. So that's the best way.
Very international.
Yeah. Global.
Global, yeah.
Global. We have with us Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter, a Gemini, a twin. Now, are you older or younger?
I'm older by 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
Yes. My brother-in-law calls my sister the placenta because they were waiting for the placenta and Melanie came out.
Did your mom know?
Nope.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Just think, oh, let's get the little crib and the little things. And then all of a sudden, yikes, we need two of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I think the only saving grace was we were so tiny that we had to stay in the neonatal unit for a while. So it gave them some time to quickly get two of everything.
Honey, go out to the grocery store and get more of this and go out to Walmart and get more of this. And
yeah.
I mean,
so
whoa.
Did they, and was Mandy the name that they had picked out for the one that they were expecting?
Yes. So my name, I was named after, my grandpa named me after the Barry Manilow song.
Oh, I've heard that song.
Oh, we've heard that
don't
song.
Mention.
So it's funny because I am a huge Barry Manilow fan because as growing up, that was like my comfort music and still is. I'm having a bad day. I have it in my car and I can turn it on. And Melanie... Yeah, they just had to come up with that one on the fly.
Melanie. I mean, you know, luckily they didn't call her. Let's call her Candy. Mandy and Candy.
Oh, God.
Or, you know, yeah, just think. So Melanie, you know, that's...
So it's M&M's. So when we were in high school, we were the M&M twins or the twins or the Gilmore twins. And, yeah.
God, what fun.
It is fun.
You know, it's fun to have... Let's talk animal shelter. One of the reasons why we have Mandy here is that I think it was earlier this month, there was an article in the Bee about the dog park.
Yes.
And do you want to give us an update? Tell us everything, all dog park. And I know that there are contributions one can make for objects in the dog park and things like that. So this is your chance.
Yeah. So the dog park is... It's outside of our normal operating procedure, but if you drive by the animal shelter to the west is a empty plot of land, and that is actually a part of the shelter's parcel. So we own it, and we were talking about ways that we could utilize the land in a positive way to help the community. So we decided, let's build a dog park. Everybody wants one. It's been very clear over the years that it's a priority for our community. So we decided to move forward and talk to the city of Ponderay, who is excited about the potential of putting it in their parks plan. So we would end up leasing the land to them and they would take care of the maintenance and all the fun stuff.
So it's a parcel of land connected to the animal shelter that the animal shelter owns.
Yes.
Okay. So how does one make arrangements with the city of Ponderay? Is it pretty tricky to do that to get them to take care of it?
No. I mean, they have been absolutely fabulous. I feel really lucky that we're located in Ponderay because the city employees, their council, everybody is just really fantastic to work with. So they were very excited about the potential of adding on to their parks program because, as you know, they have a park behind the shelter.
Right,
so it really just nicely adds in. And then there's going to be the goal is to have a walking or running path all the way around the shelter that help, you know, markers where people will know how far they've gone. That's in the future. There's some other things to have to be done there. But in the meantime, this is kind of one step closer to that plan. So what we're doing, I think that I just want to make sure everybody understands that animal shelters typically do not run and manage dog parks. That is a very, like, outside of the norm. So we're primarily acting almost as a fiscal agent for the dog park so that people that donate are able to receive a tax-deductible donation. And then anything that is raised above and beyond the needs of the park would then be rolled into donations to the shelter. We would end up keeping the leftover or the remaining funds. Which I appreciate because we put a lot of time into this project. Steve Nybank, who is an absolute angel and wonderful human being, is our project manager, and we already have the plans done. He went out and did topography maps, and we have the engineer's approval. So it's really rolling. Like, we have a lot of progress that has been made.
So you have a design for it.
Yes.
And is it going to go totally around the building, or
it's just going to be on that one straight plot of land
to the west?
So it's like a rectangle. So if you're looking at Kootenai Cutoff Road and you just look back towards, I guess, I can't remember what that road is, but towards the shelter would be on your right, and the little coffee stand is on your left.
Right.
So it's just a pure rectangle. It's about anywhere between 26,000 and 30,000 square feet.
Totally enclosed.
Totally enclosed with a small dog area and a large dog area. And then we are having to repave and do some changes to our parking lot over there so that that would accommodate more parking for the dog park. We're rolling. And so it's primarily, we've said all along, the only way this is going to happen is through community support. And it's been really fun, and I think Steve has been so excited. Every time he goes out and talks to people, I get an email saying, great day today, because everybody just loves this project. So we're looking for corporate and individual sponsorship. The nice thing about this project is that there's the opportunity for recognition for donors and business sponsors. There's going to be a sign, a permanent sign that faces the thrift store, so it's not on Kootenai Cutoff Road, and it will list out the sponsors. Anyone that gives $10,000 and or greater also has the opportunity to put up a banner promoting their business on Kootenai Cutoff Road for 2 weeks leading up to the grand opening of the park. And we get, I think it's 10,000 or 20,000 cars drive by the shelter every day.
Well, that's quite. Now, these donations are tax deductible.
Yes.
And since this is the end of the year, it's sort of nice to remember that you might want to make donations now between now and December 31st. And the Panhandle Animal Shelter would be a perfect and welcoming recipient.
Yes. And if you make a donation, you just have to mark on there that it is for the dog park, since we are a nonprofit organization. If you send us money and it doesn't say that, then we will assume it's for the shelter. And then a lot of businesses, I know that they make decisions early on. So the nice thing is that we will continue fundraising until probably June or July. So if you think a sponsorship is a good idea, then they can do that in January.
The park that's already there, different but close, are dogs allowed in that at all?
The dogs behind the shelter in that park are on leash.
On leash.
Yes.
Okay.
So this would be leashless.
Leashless, yes.
And, okay, what does a dog park look like? I mean, is there anything special about it that's unusual from just an empty field that you would consider a regular park?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, particularly with ours, because we have the animal shelter, we have firsthand experience of the ground cover and what it should be. So it will be fully pea gravel, which will allow for good water flow and use in the winter, spring, and fall when it's really wet, so that people don't take their dogs there and end up putting muddy, nasty dogs back. It's really hard to keep it beautiful when it's muddy and gross and the grass basically won't grow. So it's going to be pea gravel, and then we are building a gazebo in the middle. And I actually have a meeting today with a local artist who might be adding a little flair to it. We will see. I'm excited about that potential. And then we have a little gazebo area when you enter, so people entering won't get wet or nasty. And dog parks are different because you have catch pens and incoming dogs and outgoing dogs. And really a lot of very open space so that dogs can run and play and have fun without a lot of seating. And we might have boulders for seating, trying to incorporate some natural elements.
Catch pens. So this is some kind of a device to you go through a metal detector or something like that to get in? Or
yeah, TSA approved. Yeah.
So what it is so dogs, let's say that you have a dog in a fenced area and another dog's coming in. So now you're having to manage your dog while this other dog is running, either trying to get out or is excited to play with your dog when you're just trying to unleash your dog. Yeah. So a catch pen allows you to go in, shut the gate behind you, unleash your dog, hang your leash up, and then go out the other gate where nobody gets to escape. And
very cool.
Yeah.
It's the airlock
on the
space station. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a managed way.
Mm-hmm. I just think the concept of a dog park is I oftentimes visit San Francisco and they've got dog parks all over. And even if you don't have a dog, it's just fun to go in there. It's sort of like Yappy Hour.
Yes.
You know, to see it's very hard not to have a smile on your face to see how dogs, different breeds and whatever, get along with one another and introduce themselves to one another and play with one another whom they've never seen before. Like, they're instant friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think part of this project that people miss, there's a dog element to this for the shelter. And that is, in shelters all across the country, we are starting to see dogs coming in that are more behavioral challenged. And a lot of that, in my opinion, is because you have two working people. And so these dogs are sitting at home, and you don't take away the desire to have the companion, but the time commitment has changed. So by having a dog park, and this would be open, there's no membership, anything like that, we'll have lighting. So if you get off work at 5 and you take your dog there, 30 minutes in a play group is like a 2-hour walk. So it really provides the dogs an opportunity. Hmm. I mean, just the smells. If you look at us as people and how you can go to a party, you're not running a marathon, but you leave exhausted. It's because you've been thinking and socializing. It's the same thing with dogs. Mm-hmm. So even if there aren't dogs in the park, the smells and everything that is in there will use their senses and exhaust them more. So the hope is that we will be providing an enriching environment for our community. But on the people aspect, I think it's equally as important, because we take for granted that we're in good health and we can go on a trail and walk. But there are a lot of people in our community who struggle to be able to do that. And they might have a crazy dog that they're questioning whether or not they're the right home for, because they're not providing the adequate amount of energy outlets for them. So this park will be ADA. So they can go in, they can sit in the gazebo, they can let their dog play. And there are people who are more inclined to hang out with their dog than people. And so this provides them a social outlet, allows them to say, hey, I come every day at 2:00. You know, there's that movie, Must Love Dogs, and the dog walkers, and they meet and fall in love. And so it's similar. It gives
it's
people a
win,
reason.
Win-win-win across the board.
It helps with depression. I mean, we could go on and on about the human benefits, but I know that people will say, we don't need a dog park. We live in the middle of the wilderness. But I think we are being short-sighted when we look at it that way.
I've often thought about when you were talking about the dogs running around, I'd love to see a cartoon with little dog bubbles with their thoughts like, oh, look at the leash she's wearing today. Or, you know, I mean, what they're saying to one another as, oh, look who's coming in, or I thought she was on vacation. You know, I just think that dogs, when they're together like that, are just so much fun to watch.
Well, and the butt smelling, right?
Oh.
Like,
I
have a 2-year-old dog that absolutely cannot stand letting anyone smell her butt. And I keep telling her, this is normal social behavior, Rosie. You have to let them smell your butt.
And is it working?
No. She literally goes between my legs, sits down, and then if any dog tries to come smell her from behind, she growls at him.
Okay, now how about some individual contributions? You mentioned corporate businesses and whatever. How about individual contributions to the dog park?
Individual contributions are absolutely welcome. Like, we've had more individual contributions than corporate at this point. And you know what I love? I mean, I was going through our financial report for the dog park the other day. There are probably 5 people who've given like $2.
Perfect.
And I love it because perfect. We always say thank you for your meaningful gift, because to each of us, the size of the gift is different, right? And how meaningful it is. And to know that this dog park is important to somebody who their meaningful gift is a $2 contribution. So I really want everyone to know that, I mean, if it's the loose change in your pocket, like all of that really does add up and help. And the same benefits on the sponsorship levels apply to individuals as well.
Do we have a dream on this one? Do you have a completion date?
We're hoping for the second weekend of July.
Really?
Yeah. That's why we're so gung-ho about the plans we're presenting to council in January. Because we really want to be able to get this up and running by summer.
That is absolutely wonderful. You're listening to Jack and Jim here on The Morning Show, the Thursday edition. And our guest this morning is Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter. And we've been talking about the dog walk. We're going to take a music break. And we've already had this queued up way before she ever walked through the door. So here's some comfort music for Mandy. We don't have a Melanie song, but this is one that you might remember. And then I'll say a few words about it afterwards. And then we'll talk about the holidays at the animal shelter, what's going on. And we do need to make some cat talk. I mean, this is not all about dogs. But here is a song that Mandy will probably remember and recognize. That was Brandy. No. Mandy. The reason why I said Brandy is initially that song by Barry Manilow was done by a New Zealand artist in 1971, and the song was called Brandy. Barry Manilow did a version that went to number one in 1974. He called it Mandy because in the intervening time between 71 and 74, Looking Glass came out with a song called Brandy, and I guess Brandy Mandy. But some comfort music for our guest this morning on The Morning Show, Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We're talking about the dog walk. And Jack, you had a question while the music was playing about number of dogs in the county, or?
I did. It doesn't sound like we have an answer. I was wondering maybe if you have a feeling of, it seems like there's a lot of dogs here. Like there's more, I see more dogs than I have when I've lived in other places, but I don't know if that's...
Well, it's a dog-loving community, that's for sure. The other thing, though, is the AAA has some numbers that's like 50% of people traveling now travel with their pets.
Ooh.
And so you're also in the summertime seeing an increase in dogs because they're basically part of people's families that are traveling with them. But there's an equation that you use, and it's something, I don't know, it's like two dogs for every household, and you can figure out how many you have in the community. But that particular number, I do not have this morning.
Well, do you have anything to tell us about holidays at the animal shelter? What's going on? Okay, we know the dog park, hopefully the second week in July.
Hopefully,
fingers are crossed. What's happening at the animal shelter? What's new within the last, let's say, since you've last been on with us? Are things decorated there?
We're quite the happy bunch, so we're having a lot of fun with the holidays. A couple new things is when you go by the shelter, you will see construction happening, and that is the construction for the new sorting facility. We're hoping to be in that facility by mid-February, and we've been renting an off-site location so we were able to expand our thrift store to 5,000 square feet instead of 2,500. So, and we kind of tested it by moving the way we did, and it's been really successful. So we're moving it on site, which saves us a tremendous amount of money. But we still need to pay that loan off. So anyone that's wanting to contribute to that, it makes a huge impact. Every dollar we put towards that takes a dollar away from direct services we're able to provide to the animals. And then we Well, Dr. Marty Becker, America's veterinarian, he comes every year in the holidays and gives a present to each dog and cat in our facility. This year, he was unfortunately, and it's I will have been at the shelter in January 8 years.
No
this
way.
Is, yeah, and this is his Whoa. First time not being able to come to the shelter oh. due to his travel schedule. So on Saturday, the team will be going out and passing out gifts in his honor to each dog and cat in the facility so they get to celebrate Christmas too. And then we are launching in January a new program called Pets for Life. For me, this is a really big one because I learned about it my first year being in this position, and I absolutely love it. We changed the culture of our organization based on this program. And basically what it is that rather than sheltering, looking at themselves as if you can't feed your pet, you don't deserve your pet, that kind of mentality. It's more like, let's do Pets for Life. Like, if we believe the saying is that when you adopt, it's forever. When you have a pet, it's forever. Some people just need help with that. And so Pets for Life will be launched in Clark Fork. And it will be focused in rural communities where we send some of our people out. And we knock on doors and say, hi, we're with the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Do you have any pets? Do you need any help with those pets? We'll spay and neuter your pet for free, and then just kind of build the community up and learn about what their needs are. And it's mainly about access. So we evaluated the community and figured out that in the Clark Fork community, they don't have as direct access to resources as other people do. And so we will be taking those resources directly to them.
Well, it's sort of like a lot of services here in the community. There's a lot out there that we just simply don't know about. And what you're doing is taking information to people who might be able to use those services. Like,
yeah.
Gosh, I didn't know that. Or, wow. I think that is excellent.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, for us, customer service is such a big deal because we care. We care about people. And then the home-to-home program is now a national program. We have 10 shelters that have joined the network. And those are Florida, California. We have one coming on in January in Southampton area. That is super fun to see this program that was developed here in our area expanding throughout the country.
Remind us of what that is, the home-to-home
program. Home-to-home is home-home.org. And we created the program to help people who need to surrender their pet not have to actually surrender to a shelter, but be able to rehome, so go from their home to another. So people put a brief pet profile onto the home-to-home page, and then we share that as an organization on our Facebook page. So we help drive traffic to help them get their pet rehomed. And then they take it from there. So when people contact them, the owner reaches back out to them and they figure out a time to meet and all that jazz. We're really just providing the platform and then helping with the promotion. So if you look at home to home on the national level, it's somewhat like Facebook. It's our overall platform, but each shelter has their own home to home page with their own branding. And those posts in that area go onto that shelter's Facebook page, not ours. So it helps you're promoting animals within the community through their community resources rather than trying to drive traffic to a national website, which would cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. How many pets do you own, Mandy?
I'm not saying.
Okay.
How many are in the animal shelter? I bet you bond with quite a few of them.
I do. There's a dog in there right now that's just killing me, but I'm not going to do it. Excellent self-control. Right now, I actually have a low population on dogs. I think it's between 15 and 20 that are in the shelter and cats.
So that's low?
Yeah. So normally we would have 30 to 50 in the facility.
Okay.
In the past, we had 100 at any given time.
Wow.
But we have actually quadrupled the amount of animals we help. Though when you go into the shelter, we house less at any given time because they're being adopted faster. And we've increased our marketing efforts. We're just a lot more efficient. So these animals in need only need to really spend a brief amount of time with us, which is ideal.
How about cats? How many cats?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to make a wild guess and say that we have probably about 40 cats.
Now, is that low or medium or high?
That would be low. We had surgery yesterday, and that's typically when we will see a lot of cats go onto the floor, is on Thursdays. That's an insider tip. So if you're looking for a cat, Thursdays might be a good day.
What'd you say? We had surgery yesterday?
We do our spay and neuter surgeries on Wednesday. So spay and neuter surgeries for cats. We have a lot of cats that are in foster. So kittens are typically in foster. And so they all come in on Wednesday morning. They get altered and then put on the floor on Thursday. Yes, it's a very fun day at the shelter on Thursday. But that's typically in peak kitten season. And right now we're not in peak, but because I wasn't involved in the surgeries yesterday, I have no idea what's put on the floor today.
And who's being put on the floor? Let's talk a little bit about donations to the thrift store.
Yeah.
What sorts of items should people consider donating to the thrift store?
Well, our number one bestseller is clothing.
Okay.
Clothing moves and sells the best. Furniture is always fabulous. And I mean, I can tell you we're happy to get really anything. I can tell you the things we prefer not to get. We cannot take large appliances. So we always refer people to the Rehome store.
How about electronics?
Electronics we can.
Okay.
Preferably that work still.
That function.
Yes. And then, I mean, that's pretty much, possibly a misconception that we don't pay for our garbage. We totally pay for our garbage. For many years, I've said that our garbage is like my nemesis because next year, I'm forecasting that our garbage bill will be $20,000.
Whoa.
We do not, as a nonprofit, get any discount because that garbage goes into the same landfill as everybody else. So we appreciate when people are discerning and not bringing what they would think. You donate a pair of shoes, but you can only find one. Okay, well, I'm going to have to throw that shoe away. So But I know that I'm not looking at it like people are, they're purposely being neglectful or bad, because I know for me, when I have, I can only find one shoe, and I'm like, all right, I should throw that away. It feels really bad having to throw something like that away, that you're like, this is a shoe. But realistically, we're going to end up throwing it away. So it'd be better for them to throw it away. And the quality really is up to each person's interpretation of the quality. So the biggest thing, no to large appliances, no mattresses. We won't resell car seats because we can't guarantee that they have not been in an impact or a crash.
You mean children's car seats?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
And organs. A lot of people want to donate their organs to us. Not their physical organs, body organs.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Their musical organs.
Another source of donation is, I know out at Yolks, when you walk into Yolks, there's a bin there, like if you buy a bag of cat food,
yes,
or a bag of dog food. So just as easy as you're wandering around picking out items for your meal for the holidays, grab a bag of something, dog bones, dog treats, cat treats, whatever. Just drop it in there on the way out. And that's always something that can go a long way.
Yeah, it's a huge help. And if you pay attention to our Facebook page, every Wednesday is Wishlist Wednesday, and we will have a list of needs on the Facebook page.
Is Yappy Hour still going during the winter months?
No, it's April through September.
Okay,
peek. I haven't told the staff or anybody yet.
Just among us.
I had somebody come to me yesterday to say that she may have an enclosed location and is considering doing a dog or a Yappy Hour in February.
Ooh,
so
wow.
I need to share that.
That could be fun.
That's fun. Right?
Yeah. I think anytime you bring pet owners and their pets together, good things happen.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, the few times that I don't have a pet, I have a partner, but the few times I've been to Yappy Hour, I just discover I have a smile on my face. Just watching the energy. It's positive energy.
Yeah, it's fun. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You say, I'm just going back here, you put cats... The cats go out today. The cats go out today.
You're hung up on that, Jack.
They're available today.
Yes, they're on the adoption floor.
The adoption floor.
Yes.
Okay. And are they? What does the adoption floor look like?
Wait, I think that Jack might be admitting that he has never been to the animal shelter before.
Oh, you need to go and just go in the cat room and sit down, and you're like Velcro.
Yeah.
It's great. So we have community cat rooms. So okay. Instead of many shelters will have their cats in cages, mm-hmm. the majority of our cats will be in community cat rooms. So no more than 6 to 7 cats per room. So you literally go in and there's a little outdoor like couch thing that you sit on and these cats will love on you.
Huh.
So it's great enrichment for the cats.
And they get I guess I don't know that much about cats. Because, dogs I think of as usually getting along or being very playful with one another.
Oh, cats
but cats do as well. They don't, they're such solitary animals whenever I see them in somebody's house.
Well, like, it just depends. So when you walk into the lobby of the cat room, there will be cages and there may be adult cats in those cages and they can be in there for various reasons. And one of the reasons is they don't really get along with others. Mm-hmm. They want to be in a single cat home. For the most part, though, they're fine. And we have two front showrooms. Those are usually litters of kittens, so they're all litter mates. And then the rooms in the back that have an outdoor access are generally adult cats. But cats are extremely sensitive beings. They will get sick very easily due to stress. And so that's why if you go in there, you'll see there's a lot of litter boxes. We don't mm-hmm. just serve one bowl of cat food. There's a lot of food bowls. There's a lot of water bowls. And we will only put 6 in a room to 7. I can't remember the right number. When I first started, though, we would put so many cats in a room. It's really nobody's doing anything blatantly wrong. It's just the lack of understanding and knowledge we had so much upper respiratory. And to be fair, it was like I came in and we're talking about it. And no one knows why. And so we were really lucky to have a year's worth of support from the University of Wisconsin Shelter Medicine Program. And really just changed all of our protocols for the better. It was amazing.
I do want to say something to Jack that mm-hmm. if you do go out there, don't wear that sweater that you have on now.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a black sweater and uh-huh. it will come out with little hairs all over it.
Yes.
But I think you and Annie should go into separate rooms out there and you just sit down and they'll come to you.
Yeah, it's very relaxing.
You don't mm-hmm. have to do – well, you know, one of the things I do want to – we had on last week a retired cardiologist talking about stress in the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things Brad talked about was the importance of an animal in one's life in terms of reducing stress, longevity, bonding, and all sorts. You know, where I live over near the – now it's the YMCA, but the health club, the number of people I see out walking their animals, I go – you know, because we have several nursing home there and elderly assisted living homes in the area, just to see people out walking their dogs.
So there is an institute. It's called the Human Animal Research Something Institute. They have, it's called the Pet Effect, and they're literally, their purpose of their organization is to prove with scientific data the impact that pets have on people's lives.
Isn't
if you
incredible?
Own a cat, you have a marked reduction in your heart attack risk. There are literally facts about
amazing.
Depression and illness. And then this other study that was done that I find extremely interesting. So you know how you read these studies and it says the gift of long life and, you know, one guy says, I drank a Coors Light every day of my life. That's the gift of, you know. And really what this says is that it's really about your community. It's this connection that you have with people. But they did a study that said that that connection doesn't need to be a person. It can be an animal. So when you have these older people, maybe they've had children, the children now have moved away and they have a cat or a dog, that could be extending their life significantly because they feel that connection with another living being.
I don't mean to badmouth cats, though, but I just wish, I'm a cat person, but I wish you could put them on a leash and walk them.
Not you to can say, if you started young enough.
I know. It's sort of like not in their genes. Somehow dogs are just meant to, you know, with less desire not to do it. They hop on a leash and you can go out walking them. But a cat, you know, I'd love to see people out there walking their cats.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be neater than heck?
They did a study. I just got back from a conference where they shared this study over in, I think it was Bermuda or the Bahamas. And there's a bunch of free roaming dogs. And they love these dogs. And they saw that there's a high mortality rate with dogs at a very puppy young age. And that the moms deserted their puppies at a young age. We're like a wolf, right? They will stay with their young until, I think it's 2 years. But all of a sudden now you've got dogs that literally are like, well, you're weaned, I'm out of here. And the longevity of that animal will depend on whether or not it connects with a human. Doesn't need to live in their home, but it's providing food. They know there's a connection. So what they're saying is that through evolution, dogs have become extremely dependent on people, so much so that even the moms will desert their babies earlier than their ancestry or whatever. Dogs are for people, basically.
Well, it reminds me of years ago, vacationed on the Greek Isles, and they just have free roaming cats. And I would see people taking like a bag of cat food and on a corner, just emptying it. And obviously they have no little rodent problems, but yeah. I guess that there's sort of like a cross between feral cats and community cats. And I just thought that was really interesting. This was on Mykonos.
The street cats. Which I think is an a cappella group.
I don't know. No, that's a stray cat.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mandy, do you just take dogs and cats?
Yes.
No ferrets, no.
No, the only way that we are able to assist people with animals outside of dogs and cats is through home to home. We've rehomed horses and bunnies and all sorts of things on the home to home.
Bunnies.
What's the, are there any strange or unusual dogs or cats that you've had, breeds or anything like that?
Oh.
Do you ever get
no,
huge
more
dogs?
Of our strange stories are around people. No, not really. You know, one thing that does happen that I find very unusual is that we'll get, like last year, this year, we've had a lot of German Shepherds randomly that have been contacted through our helpline or home to home or in the shelter. And then there are times when we don't have a lot of small dogs. All of a sudden, we'll get like 10 Shih Tzus and all the same breed, all from different people. So that kind of happens. We'll have like a run where all of a sudden we get Maine Coons. And there's just, I find that interesting because these people don't know each other. And yet these things happen in waves.
It's what weird. Fun. What fun. We have been here with Mandy Evans. We want to thank her so much I appreciate the job that you and your volunteers do at the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Your enthusiasm, your interest, your energy, just everything good. And a phone number if somebody has some questions.
Sure. It's 208-265-7297. You can get our front office by dialing extension 100.
Wishing you and your family and your twin a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too.
And we're going to transition, and then we'll do a few community items. This is a song that was released on this date in 1965 by the Beach Boys. See if you remember this. That was Barbara Ann by the Beach Boys. That was released on this date in 1964. It's a cover version. It was already done in 1961 by, and I remember the band, The Regents. And what's interesting about this song, Dean Torrence of Jan and Dean shares lead vocals with Brian Wilson on this rendition of Barbara Ann, released on this date in 1965, December 20th. Let's talk about community events. And one community event that's coming up that I'm quite excited about is at the Panada Theater starting tomorrow night. Welcome to Marwen, the movie with Steve Carell. Mm-hmm. It's one that I missed when I was in San Francisco because it didn't get released until, well, it doesn't get released till tomorrow, but I knew it was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest go to YouTube, look at the trailer. Tomorrow, it will be at the Panada at 5:30, and then Saturday, 7:30, and then Sunday, Monday, 3:30. It's going to be here for 2 weeks at different times. And I would highly suggest going to panada.org and hitting the prompts for Welcome to Marwen and when it will be showing. But I will be volunteering there tomorrow night because I want to see it not only once, but many times.
It looks very good, yeah.
It's so different. And yeah. I would suggest people who are not aware of Welcome to Marwen, YouTube it, look at the trailers, and come support the Panada and support the films.
Tonight, the 20th, is the Elf Sing-Along. It is, I believe it's a free show, if I'm not
mistaken.
Yes, it
is. Yeah. Yes, it is. At the Panada.
At the Panada Theater again. 6:30 p.m. in the Panada Theater. If you aren't familiar with the movie Elf, I don't know exactly what to say, but Buddy, played by Will Ferrell, was raised as an elf by Santa Claus. Anyway, you sing along with the show, and it's for free, and it does sound like a pretty good time. I think I might
get elfed. Get elfed.
Okay, live music at the Poor Authority tomorrow night, Friday, with Bear Grass at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Pondere Winery. Upbeat Jazz by Ron Keeper. Winery at the Wine Bar, not the Winery, the Cedar Street Bridge Wine Bar. Live music from 5:30 to 7 p.m. with Arthur Goldblum. Jazz to contemporary hits. That's a lot of jazz going on. It's the season.
Yeah, it's the season, but it's upbeat. It makes you feel good. One of the things I do want to mention, jumping ahead to Saturday, the Sandpoint Christmas Bird Count.
Mm-hmm.
All are welcome to partake in the Sandpoint Christmas Bird Count. Plan on a full day of birding. Dress warm and bring food and drink for yourself. Group will meet at 6:30 a.m. to organize leaders and groups to join this annual outing. Contact Rich Del Carlo. He is the North Idaho bird counter at 208-290-1405. And that's Saturday, 6:30, and a whole day affair of county. I'd love to ask him, where did these robins come from in our backyard?
Yeah. Is he going to be, I imagine he'll be sometime in January coming in to talk to probably Phil and Julie on the morning show. I imagine he's booked
about
already.
Birds. I mean, I know my feeder has been in the backyard, been really busy with flickers and woodpeckers and chickadees and finches, and it's been great fun.
Yeah. I've been hearing more birds, well, at this time of year than you usually do. I mean, I always thought that basically every bird just flew south for the winter, but
some stick around and provide entertainment for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continuing that Friday night music selection at the brewery, that is the Matchwood Brewing Company, a special holiday performance from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. featuring Sadie Cecilia. She currently is based out of Spokane, but she has been, I think she came originally from Sandpoint and has been up here frequently as her career has continued. We also have Dark Beer Day, considering it is the shortest and darkest day of the year. The 219 Lounge from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow, Dark Beer Day, 10 draft dark stouts and porters on tap. And it's Third Friday with Devin Wade at McDuff's Beer Hall tomorrow. We are totally out of time.
But once more, happy birthday tomorrow. May you have a great day and a good year ahead, buddy.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. No morning show on Tuesday, Christmas Day, I don't believe. But and I think Susie is going to be in here on Wednesday playing a little holiday music or something like that. And you and I are back next week as maybe just by ourselves talking about the year in review. Anyway, stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.